Good morning and welcome to FOSDEM. Today I'm going to talk about LibreOffice technology, a concept that we have just introduced with the announcement of LibreOffice 7.1. LibreOffice technology is the result of 10 years of development in the right direction. Today, we have the same processing engine common to all modules of LibreOffice. This is based on a cleaned and refactored source code with a focus on code quality and consistency, and is supported by easy and extensive APIs. At the end, LibreOffice technology is the best open source platform for personal productivity. This is a timeline of the main milestones since 1985, when Marco Burris released StarWriter. It's over 30 years that we are working on the engine, and we have, over the years, we have announced products like StarOffice, then open source product like OpenOffice, then open document formats, and then LibreOffice, and the evolution of the open document format up to 2021, when we have announced LibreOffice 7.1 community. The addition of the community label marks the change of a communication strategy for LibreOffice that we will maintain over the next 10 years. This image gives a visual representation of the technical depth that LibreOffice got in 2010 when the source code was forked from the source code of OpenOffice.org. The issues at the time were that the code was too complex for the average developer and the build environment was difficult to create and manage. Patches were not handled in the proper way, and it was necessary to mentor new volunteer developers to reduce the learning curve that was very, very steep. So in 2010, the OpenOffice.org community forked, created LibreOffice to relaunch the innovation. This has happened over the last 10 years. Let's see how we did it. First, we managed to grow the number of developers. In 5 years, we went from the initial small group of 20 developers to over 1,000 contributors. Then we stopped counting them because it was clear that LibreOffice was attracting developers on a steady basis without any real issue. So we managed to balance the mix of contribution, attract new code contributors, increase the number of core developers, and over the years, we created a strong base of new developers and attracted also several new star contributors that performed challenging cleaning tasks. The objective were to reduce the software footprint. In fact, we reduced it by almost 2 million lines of code to undertake the code renovation that was long awaited, remove all the dead code and the deprecated libraries, translate the German comments to English to make the source code accessible to people that were not German native speaker, and also use state-of-the-art C++ construct. Leading those challenges, challenging development was the engineering steering committee. They are meeting every week to discuss about development. People is part of the engineering committee if they have a role in the development and the contribution of one module. Also, we have created an infrastructure for development which is independent and is managed by the community. So we have a Garrett instance, we have Tinderboxes, we have a Bugzilla instance, OpenGrok, we have a WebLate translation instance, and all the additional performance and crash monitoring tools. At the end, this infrastructure allows the project to be independent in terms of technologies and allow the developers to grow the source code base in the right direction. Also, the user interface has been reorganized, improved, and renovated. This is an example of what has happened with menus in the different applications. And we have also added notebook bar, which is something similar in term of approach to the bars of competing product, proprietary or open source or freeware products active in the Office Suite market. We have also improved the performances. These are statistics at the time of LibreOffice 6.3, so a couple of years ago, when, thanks to all the renovation, there have been significant open and safe performance improvement. This is Writer, and this is Calc. So these are different activities, different transactions, and as you can see from before and after, the increase in speed was quite significant. A lot of attention has been given on the quality of the source code. Using static code analysis tools like Coverity Scan, the defect density has been reduced from 1 to 0.00. This defect density is measured in defect of every 1,000 lines. This is the situation more or less a couple of months ago, start of December 2020. As you can see, the number of defects is extremely low. We monitor it on a weekly basis, and it's not always at zero, but the number is always very small. Also using fuzzing tools, these have helped especially with vulnerabilities, because allows to test the source code in areas where the users are usually not getting with their usage. Using different tools, probably the most popular is Google's OS Fuzz, but we have, over the years, we have used other ones and we regularly use other tools. Let's talk about the Open Document format. This is the native format of LibreOffice and is the true document standard, which offers freedom of choice. Theoretically, there is more than one open standard for documents, but the reality, in the way that they are implemented, the standard is respected, and the standard was built, the only one which is really offering interoperability is Open Document Format. The advantages are that ODF is solid and robust, is consistent across operating system. The file created in Windows is exactly as it is if created on macOS or Linux. It's interoperable. Exchanging the file over different platforms offers the same results. Is predictable. If you manage, if you create a document with Open Document Format in a way that should be created, so using styles and using templates, the result is going to be the same and is going to be predictable over the objectives of the user. So ODF at the end is the best standard file format for users of personal productivity software. Of course, the interoperability has to do with proprietary formats. So LibreOffice developers are also managing and improving over time the interoperability with the false or pseudo standard of Microsoft Office document, which is unfortunately extremely popular amongst users. So there is a process to check if a document opened by LibreOffice and modified when it's saved, it opens at the same way in other Office suite, and especially with Microsoft Office. This doesn't happen, of course, only with Word documents, but also with Excel and PowerPoint documents. Last addition to the tools is LibreOffice Kit. LibreOffice Kit is a thin API for LibreOffice, which allows people to write a small and external application without having to compile or link to LibreOffice, and as learn UNO or other complex topics. So, and it also allows fast rendering of documents for any application. LibreOffice Kit is the last addition, as I said, but as you can understand, even if it has been a very short overview of what has happened, the number of improvement to the source code has been really significant. So today, LibreOffice has evolved from a product. In 2010, LibreOffice was available only for the desktop. In 2020, LibreOffice is available for the desktop in a community edition and in long-term supported editions optimized for enterprise. These are available for ecosystem companies. They are not released by the Document Foundation. Then we have LibreOffice Online for the cloud, LibreOffice Mobile for Android and iOS, and LibreOffice for Chrome OS. All these products are released by the LibreOffice ecosystem in general, so either by the Document Foundation or by ecosystem companies. They share the same engine, which is common to all modules. And this, of course, makes it consistent, the management of the document format, and also the way the user interact with the software. Let's talk a little bit about who pays LibreOffice development. 68% of development is paid by customers of ecosystem companies. Who are selling a LibreOffice Enterprise product. The majority of this activity is focused on new features and improvement to interoperability. 28% of development is provided by volunteers and is paid by their willingness to contribute to the project. So the majority of this activity is focused on the user interface and usability, but there are also exceptions. For instance, quite a lot of the security activity is managed by volunteers, and all the bug fixing, bug triaging, and quite a lot of bug fixing is managed by volunteers. The problem is that 90% of donations to the Document Foundation are from individuals and only 10% from small businesses. And based on estimates, less than 5% of all LibreOffice Enterprise users are, and this includes government, are contributing in any way to the project. And this includes buying a product or a service from ecosystem companies. This, over time, can represent an issue for the sustainability of the project model. And this is why we have changed our communication strategy. We have added the community label to LibreOffice as released by the Document Foundation, as the community is the entity that supports that product, and as such, LibreOffice community is not an enterprise-focused product. Of course, the product has an extremely good quality, but if deployed on a large number of personal computers, is deployed on an enterprise infrastructure, is not optimized for the results that the large organization wants to get. So LibreOffice technology, the concept of LibreOffice technology will help us to educate free riders to understand that they have to contribute to the project more than they have done in the past. Thank you for listening, and I hope to meet you in person in the future, here at FOSDEM or at other events when the pandemic will be over. Thanks again.